Well, the 2016 field continues to grow even today. Senator Marco Rubio, the first-term Republican senator from Florida, has announced his candidacy for the White House. He'll make a speech later tonight in Miami. According to the Associated Press, he broke the news to his wealthiest donors in a conference call this morning, during which he called Hillary Clinton a, quote, leader from yesterday and said he's uniquely qualified to become the next president. For more, we turn to Manuel Roig Franzia, Washington Post journalist and author of The Rise of Marco Rubio. Manuel, welcome.
Great to be here.
You're the author of The Rise of Marco Rubio. So what is The Rise of Marco Rubio? How did he get here?
There's two versions of this, right? One version is he just sort of appeared out of nowhere and was a creation of the Tea Party. And to a certain extent, that's true. But I think there's a more complicated story, a more nuanced story about the rise of Marco Rubio. And that is that he has been rising through the ranks of Republican politics in Florida since he was very young. He ran for a city commission when he was in his mid-20s. He spent 10 years in the legislature in Florida and was Speaker of the House. And he did all of that before he ran for the Senate. So it wasn't exactly instant pudding.
And like most people in his position, he certainly didn't come out of nowhere. But Manuel Roig Franzia, you mentioned Rubio's rise on the national stage because he was largely a Tea Party favorite. And it seems to me that complicates, just like so many other candidates, his path to the nomination. Very popular among the right, some of that support waned over the last couple of years over immigration. But that support on the right could make it difficult in a general election.
Yes, the key word that you used is path. Marco Rubio had been against a path to citizenship and immigration when he was running for the Senate and was and became the favorite of the Tea Party. Then when he got into the Senate, he embraced this plan to change the immigration system in the United States. That was a bipartisan plan run by a group called the Gang of Eight, four Republicans and four Democrats. That included a path to citizenship. When that ran into some difficulties, he backed off of that idea. And it really leaves open the question, where does he really stand on immigration?
And it really says almost as much about the current state of the Republican Party as it does about Marco Rubio himself. Here was a candidate, as you said, was propelled by support from the right, was expelled after supporting comprehensive immigration reform. And then he abandoned that position when it wasn't viable within Republican ranks. So his struggle with this issue, it seems, is very, very Republican 2016.
It's very Republican 2016. It will also be an issue for Jeb Bush if he gets into the campaign. But there's an added extra level of complexity for Marco Rubio, and that is this. As he has said, he has vowels at the end of both of his names, Marco Rubio. As a Latino, there is a different set of expectations, I believe. In the Republican Party, you can be viewed as the Latino who can help them bridge that gap with Hispanics or Latinos, whichever phrase you prefer. In the Democratic Party and in other parts of the political spectrum, there might be an expectation that a Latino candidate would be more open to sort of opening the border a little bit more. And therein lies the complication for someone who in 2016 will be attempting to navigate this very complex and, frankly, treacherous aspect of the political landscape.
And how does Marco Rubio then avoid the V word, which is Veep, which is vice president? So many people watching this race caricature him as the Latino promise of a great vice presidential candidate. It's almost an unfair sort of putting him in a box, almost dismissing his presidential aspirations and saying that he can be a good Latino brand for a party that's faltering with that voting bloc.
Part of it is his youth. You know, he's only in his early 40s, and there's oftentimes a knee-jerk reaction that somebody that young may not be ready to be at the top of the ticket. There's another knee-jerk reaction, which I think is a false one, and that is that he has little experience. The comparison will be made often that he is another Barack Obama, a first-term senator who is running for president. I think that that premise is flawed in this respect. Barack Obama was not a big deal in the Illinois legislature. Marco Rubio was a big, big deal in the Florida legislature. Barack Obama wasn't on taking the lead on major controversies and fights in Illinois before he came to Washington as a senator, Marco Rubio was. So he's had this experience with the back and forth at the state level, and that may help him now as he enters this arena where everything gets magnified.
Manuel Roig-Francia, does Marco Rubio have to be careful of the grumbling that goes on in establishment Republican ranks that all he's going to accomplish is making things harder for Jeb Bush?
I don't think that Marco Rubio is going to be worrying about bothering the Republican establishment because he has a track record of overcoming their concerns. When he ran for the Senate in 2010, the Republican establishment was firmly behind Charlie Crist, who was the governor in Florida and was a very popular national figure at that time, a guy who some people thought of as a potential vice presidential candidate or even presidential candidate. The establishment was with him. The establishment not only was with Crist, but was discouraging Rubio from running. And he ran anyway, and he proved them wrong. So if there's some grumbling in the establishment wing of the Republican Party right now, my guess is that in the Rubio camp, they not only look at that as something they don't have to worry about, they might just look at it as an advantage.
It's not just Hillary Clinton's day today. It's also Marco Rubio's day. The Republican Florida senator is in for 2016. Manuel Roig-Francia, Washington Post journalist, author of The Rise of Marco Rubio. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to be with you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.